This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to an iFanboy special edition, the Lego Batman movie. In the darkest night, I make the bad guys fall. There's a million heroes, but I'm the best of them all. Hey, welcome to a special edition of iFanboy, talking about the Lego Batman movie. My name is Ron Richards, and with me is Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello, Ron.
Oh, God, he's going to do that. And surprise, surprise guest on the iFanboy special edition, Mr. Josh Flanagan.
I can also keep it up. That's not what I meant.
I want to do a Bane voice, but I can't get it. I can't do it. This will be your reckoning. Welcome.
Talk about the show.
So we are here to talk about the Lego Batman movie, which opened last Friday, right? Movie still open on Friday.
Yep. Thursday night, Friday, Wednesday.
Yes, and this actually, even despite we've been special edition podcasting, it seems like for our entire lives, this is actually the first superhero movie in theaters of 2017. So this thus kicks off the year. The break is over.
Yes, right.
And this is the unlikely one of them all, spinning off from the cameo in the Lego movie.
No, Batman. He wasn't a cameo. He was a supporting character. He was there throughout the whole movie.
Oh, I thought it was more of a cameo. Didn't he fly away at one point, just leave?
Yeah, yeah. He flew away in the Millennium Falcon in the greatest moment of my entire life.
Oh, yeah, yes. I forgot about that.
But for the most part, he was in the film for almost the entire time.
I've seen the Lego movie 100,000 times.
he's a flawed character.
And I've played through the Lego movie video game as well, which is like living in the movie. He is a major supporting character. He's the other guy of the love interest.
Yeah, he's the triangle.
Wildstyle is the love interest, and he's the boyfriend that has to be dealt with.
Right. Okay, well, in the Lego Batman movie, we're going to be talking about what happened in the movie, so guess what? There's going to be spoilers. just the concept of that makes me laugh. So if you haven't seen the movie, you might want to take a moment because you might have one of 90 million references or jokes ruined for you, because I'll tell you what, this movie was exhausting.
You didn't take a two-year-old to it.
Jeez,
He took a couple. The cops are still looking for him.
I took a 40-year-old woman who's not into this stuff at all, and that's probably just as difficult.
I hear you.
So this was directed by Chris McKay, who is notably known for working on Robot Chicken, a lot of that fun stuff, a lot of Adult Swim, Moral Oral, and all that kind of wacky stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. You barely know what you're talking about at this point, do you?
Barely.
Which means I appreciate the preparation, because I was like, he doesn't know this.
Well, no, because for a moment, because as we're walking out of the movie, I turned to my girlfriend. I'm like, you know, the guys who directed this are directing the Han Solo movie. And then I looked it up. I'm like, No, they're not. I got my Lego movies mixed up.
Ward Miller are a bit more of a powerhouse than not Adam McKay.
Yeah, exactly. But still, nonetheless, so picking up from the Lego movie, it's an entire Batman movie starring Will Arnett as Batman. And while for me it was frenetic and nonstop, I had a great time at this movie. I laughed a lot.
I mean, it's fun, but, you know, it's a couple of steps down from the Lego movie. The Lego movie was really funny, but it also had a lot of interesting and sort of somewhat emotionally devastating things to say in it.
Right.
This was just a fun movie. It was more of a surface level movie than the Lego movies.
Yeah, and this was a relentless, nonstop, maybe 1.5 note joke.
Yes.
That if you're on board for the joke, then you're going to have a great time. If you're not on board for the joke, I can't see anybody enjoying this. Luckily, I'm in for most of it, and there was just enough. I mean, like, it's funny because I went to a theater. I made the mistake of going to see it at 10 a.m. in Brooklyn, and I'm thinking, oh, but nobody goes to movies at 10 a.m. And then I realized I was going to a kids' movie, and there were just nothing but kids, and they enjoyed it because it's bright and moves fast and all sort of stuff. But like, I was trying to take note of whether the adults were laughing or not, and they were. Like, it was like a lot of the jokes hit, and there were, and for me, like, I thought this was perilously deep in terms of references. Like, you could either go way deep if you're, you know, really into it.
I'm sure there was a ton we all missed, and then there's a ton in the background that we all missed because there's a lot of
exactly. Like, there was some.
I know, but if we missed them,
right?
Yeah. Then, you know,
yeah, think about that.
Yeah,
Josh, what did you think of it?
Basically, what Connor says, but probably more so. Like I said, I've seen the Lego movie a million times, and I was like, this looks like it, and it feels like it, but it ain't it.
It's not as smart.
It wasn't. It really was missing something that made that other thing magic. And it was funny for a bit, but I got tired of it. Right. And at the end, I just thought, I wanted that to be funnier.
It could have been 20 minutes shorter.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really like it. I don't think it was bad. It was, I just...
Wait, you didn't like it?
I mean, I did in the sense that, like... It felt like a copy of something I've seen before, not done quite as well.
Right.
So in that sense, you know, it's not as good. That's why I
kind of said it was a, you know, 1.5 note joke, in that it was like Will Arnett's Batman gravelly voice and the darkness and Will Arnett's gravitas and all that sort of stuff. Like, that was very funny in the Lego movie because it was such a
out of nowhere
knocked the scales of that movie, which were totally bubblegum and positive and bright colored and all this sort of stuff. It knocked everything on its butt, which was great, and that movie needed it. And for this, it was just that over and over and over again. And what I found myself looking for is the little random shit, the little throwaway stuff. Like, every time Bane was on screen, I mean, my girlfriend, she's like, every time Bane opened his mouth, you laughed out loud. And I don't know if that's just
as well. You should have.
Right, exactly.
Correct response.
Should we talk more about the things we liked? Because I do have one major thing I didn't like. But do we want to talk about the major the things we liked first? How do you do this?
Please let it be about continuity. that outfit was wrong. Alfred never wore a Batman outfit. Why would he do that?
By the way, Connor's ranting comic book nerd. Sounds like Bill Murray from Caddyshack. So
kind of like Bane, Ron. I was really excited every time Two-Face was on screen because it
Billy
was
D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams, voiced by Billy D. Williams, who never got to actually be Two-Face. The entire reason why he agreed to be in the Batman 89 movie was so that he would get to be Two-Face. So it was kind of like a vindication, however many years later it's been. For Billy D. Williams. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed little jokes like that were fun.
There were a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of, like, that's the thing. Like, it was funny because, you know, like I said, I brought my girlfriend who's not into this stuff, and I wanted to see if she would enjoy it or not. And like, she didn't, like, she couldn't give two shits that there's a billboard for Ferris Air.
Right.
Right. But meanwhile, I'm like, ooh, Ferris Air, you know, like the nerd, you know. So when you're doing that, we talk about this all the time, the mix between fan service and would a movie work for somebody who has no idea what the references are. And I think this does work.
Yeah.
You know, I think it layers in the right amount of fan service, and the movie isn't based on fan service. The movie exists on its own. And it's just a 1.5 note joke over and over again, which is fine.
Josh, what were your little people thinking of the movie?
My older son, who will be 7, enjoyed it. He's very familiar with the Lego movie and the people. He doesn't know most of the jokes other than, like, they know who the superheroes are for the most part.
Are you saying he didn't get the joke about the Batman 66 show? I mean,
nope.
he did not understand the context of that joke?
He did not. Okay. He did not. He said he enjoyed it. He liked the fart jokes. He likes wordplay. All right. Liked, you know, there was enough going on that he liked Robin, you know.
I mean, this was...
He never thought in his head, that's not what Robin's like.
I mean, this really felt like an enormous love letter to the Batman movie franchises.
Yes.
You know, like just the number of deep references, you know, going from Batman 66 to the Batman 1940s TV show, yeah. even the Dark Knight Returns, you know, like all, you know.
I mean, I've had a lot of clever references at this point. And so it's a little like, yeah, you can do that. It's fine. I will say the shark repellent joke was my favorite.
Well, yeah, of course. It's great.
Like, that was because they didn't explain it.
Right. Yes.
They just were like, here it is. Get it or don't. And I was like, all right. All right. Props to you.
I did really like the whole, it all opens up with Batman saving Gotham from the Joker, and everyone is extolling Batman. He's got his song, and I love metal Batman and with the guitar. All that stuff was fun.
Yep.
And then he goes home, and I just loved the whole sequence at home. I loved the extremely long and painful microwaving his dinner by himself.
Very funny.
And then watching Jerry Maguire by himself. And then I thought, you know, the scene where he is in front of all his family pictures and was looking at them, I thought that was a really effective emotional scene.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering, you know, the character. And, you know, there was some things that they were good about. I mean, this whole thing was about Batman's fear of having a family because his last family died, but the family being foisted on him nevertheless. That, I guess that'd be the major theme of the film. But
yeah, they flogged more out of that than I think there was there. And I know that it's a silly movie.
I did like how it worked, and I did like, you know, that Robin selfie sort of took the place of his, you know, the picture from when he was a kid. I also thought it was really effective, and I thought that was a really sad scene. You know, I thought that was really effectively done. That's probably, for me, the best part of the movie, where it felt like what the Lego movie got to, or got the closest to what the Lego movie got to.
Well, I mean, that right there, though, that's sort of at a certain point, they were still going on with, I feel really stupid criticizing the movie. Just want to put that out there.
At least you're conscious of it.
No, I am. So I'm not like taking myself so seriously, but it does have to do with my enjoyment of it. So like the emotional anchor for this is that he doesn't want to have a family around, and that drives him to make bad decisions and push people away until finally he decides to pull them back in. Like, it really felt like that lasted a lot longer than it should have. And like, it was like after a little while, it was like getting very thin. And then I think, well, that's just for a kid's movie. Then I thought, well, I don't have to make that excuse for Pixar movies. I don't have to make that excuse for, I've seen Cars a billion times and I never thought that. Or the Lego movie or something like that. It felt like there wasn't actually enough to hook a story on.
Right.
And in that way, it was a little weak. I think that was, they could rely very heavily on the billion jokes. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the drumbeat of the jokes and the references and the little Easter eggs and the Robin wearing a Nightwing costume and, you know, all that sort of stuff that, you know.
It is an achievement just to have all of that there. You know, just I thought this about the other movie, and this is in the same way, the sort of production design of it, you know, everything is built of real Lego bricks, you know, virtually. You know, that's sort of like the density of image. An idea, that's amazing. That's never not going to not be amazing. So, like, that's really impressive, which is what we said about the Lego movie.
You never heard what your two-year-old thought of it.
He got bored about 40 minutes. He decided he wanted a bottle of water really bad, so I had to go buy one for $4 that he didn't drink. Then I had to take him to a different row away from all the other people because he wouldn't sit down. Then I had to tell him to... This may have affected my viewing. To get out of the aisle and come sit down, and we should not have brought him. He sat through movies before. It's just this one, about halfway through, he got bored.
Okay.
He hasn't mentioned it since, but he likes to. I think if it was Marvel and it was the Hulk, he would have loved it.
Interesting. All right.
Like,
he's
a Marvel kid. Ron's already like,
I like this.
He's a Marvel kid. The other one's a DC kid. That's, I'm already seeing it.
All right, nothing wrong with that. That's okay.
All right, so you ready for me to deep dive into my main problem with it, or are we still going through stuff we enjoyed?
Well, no, I want to say, I mean, like, I think the my favorite, you know, kind of like you know, your favorite thing was the storyline. I think my favorite thing was Bane. Just every time Bane talked, it was fantastic. I mean, like, literally, it was a great decision to have him be the Nolan voice. Doug Benson did the voice of Bane. Yeah. And at one point, he had a leather jacket with the furry collar around him.
Yes,
and it
did.
Was, you will be Gotham's reckoning. It was just great. Just love it. Love it. All right, sorry. Okay,
and there wasn't too much of it.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I think if he had been a main character, you had to listen to it the whole time. It wouldn't have been funny, but it was always a background aside.
Yes.
It was like in a chorus of voices. You're like, yeah, you will be the reckoning.
I found myself actually by that point watching for that stuff. Because like at one point, like so you know, they did get. I mean, I know it's being written about. Everybody's loving it, but the suicide joke dig when they need to go stop the Joker and the Phantom Zone army, and Barbara Gordon suggests they get the other villains in prison, and he's like, "What? Get villains to fight other villains? What a stupid idea!" That was a funny joke. But then later in the movie, when they actually do that, and when Barbara Gordon asks all the villains, "What can you do?" and they all start yelling what they can do, and just there's one voice in the background that goes, "I'm really irritating." That got me. So
the thing is, that joke couldn't have been an actual comment on the performance or the reality of that movie, because it would have had to have been done forever ago.
Right.
Just they're just like, I think it's just like making fun of the other stuff in the family, like a thing, rather than like the actual. I don't know.
Yeah.
They also could have changed the line at any time.
Yeah.
You know, little things like Ralph Fiennes playing Alfred, but also Voldemort being in the movie. Who used the voice up, but he didn't voice Voldemort. You know
which, by the way, I'll give my girlfriend credit. As soon as Voldemort came up, she's like, Eddie Izzard. And I looked at her. I was like, how did you do that? And she just knew. He had like three lines, and she knew it was Eddie Izzard. Yeah.
So that wasn't Ralph Fiennes?
No, he wasn't. It was Eddie Izzard. Yeah, Ralph Fiennes was Alfred, but he wasn't Voldemort.
Yeah.
They probably would have had to pay him an extra $3 million to do that.
I still kind of get a kick out of the bizarre nature of seeing all these different IP on the screen together, like when you're a kid and you play with all your toys.
Sure.
That still is kind of fun.
For those who haven't seen the movie, the whole basis of it is that, you know, as Connor pointed out, it's all about Batman facing his fear, but also that's kind of like the B plot or the A minus plot, or I don't know, because there's also the main plot.
No, that's the point of the movie. Everything else is in service of that.
I thought the whole the Joker thing was a main point in the movie.
That was funny.
That was funny. I mean,
that was a better premise.
Yeah.
I thought that was. So what happens is that. So Batman fights the Joker, and the Joker says, "Well, you know, I'm your greatest enemy." And Batman's like, "No, you're not." And that gets the Joker upset. And so the Joker, you know, basically just wants Batman to admit that he's his greatest enemy. And so he does this whole scheme to give up and go to prison and take away their eternal struggle. And Batman doesn't believe it. And so Batman thinks the only way to take care of the Joker is to send him to the Phantom Zone. So he goes to steal Super, which I imagine we'll get to, Connor, but he goes to the Fortress of Solitude to steal the Phantom Zone projector and sends Joker to the Phantom Zone. But that's what he wanted. And he recruits an army consisting of all of Warner Brothers' villainous IP.
Yeah.
Including Voldemort, including Sauron, including the Daleks from Doctor Who. Like
the Kraken.
The Kraken. Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, King Kong, right? And like, so I thought that was very clever. I didn't expect to see the Doctor Who robots in it going exterminate.
I mean, it wasn't quite the Lego movie, but in terms of insanity, but it was still pretty interesting to see. That was the sort of the main fight. You know, the villains and everybody ends up fighting those bad guys, even the villains.
Yeah.
Although not the Justice League.
I thought that. So that was weird. So yeah.
They're
so
too Batman busy goes partying. Is that what happened?
Yes. So Batman goes to the Fortress of Solitude to steal the Phantom Zone projector. And he rings the doorbell and it plays the John Williams theme. That was funny. And the Justice League is all there having the 57th annual Justice League party that nobody invited Batman to. And so I'm like, all right, you established the Justice League are here.
Right.
And yet Gotham is being destroyed by Phantom Zone villains. Why doesn't the Justice League? Like, I thought that was a bit of a plot hole.
Especially since in the...
No, wait, hold on. Before we move on.
Yeah.
Ron, remember what I was talking about earlier? Do you feel any of that at this moment?
A little bit.
Okay.
Especially since they, you know, the poster and all that stuff shows Batman and the Justice League running at you. It was sort of odd that they weren't involved.
If they had put the Justice League in a more front and center position, I think the movie would have been a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would have had more to go off of.
Yeah.
More jokes. I mean, he still works. Batman still is an asshole. We're on the Justice League. So that's okay. That still works with them. So Batman's a very malleable character. That's one of the things about this movie that shows is that, you know, he's existed all throughout the years in very different forms, from Adam West's Silver Age goofiness to Christopher Nolan's Christian Bale serious Batman. So I don't have a problem with different interpretations of Batman. I like this interpretation of Batman. But I do have a couple of absolute Batman deal breakers that if they occur, I can't get behind the story.
I'm so excited about what's about to happen.
And this movie skated right to the edge. And it may have gone over, but I was really trying to enjoy the movie, so I couldn't decide. So, for some reason, whoever in charge of Warner Brothers Animation has decided that they think it's a good idea that Batman and Batgirl have a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh.
This has popped up a couple of times.
And that's verboten, right?
She's his surrogate daughter. I mean, it's...
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Stepdaughter, goddaughter, something like that along those lines.
Some relationship.
So in Batman Beyond, it was hinted at. It was even brought up in the comic that the big DC was doing that I dropped it immediately as soon as it happened. And then recently in the Killing Joke movie, they added a 20-minute prologue to the film because the main plot wasn't long enough. And it involved Batman and Batgirl catching this guy, and then they had sex. I don't understand why it's a hard concept.
Oh, these are that the thing everyone was mad about?
Yes, that was the thing everyone was mad about.
Oh.
I had this thought during the movie. Not, I don't think it was as concrete as you, but I just thought, I was like, that's not right, and Dick Grayson's right there. And I know Dick Grayson isn't in a position to be that person, but...
No, but, I mean, even besides the fact that she's sort of, you know, in the canon, Dick's, you know, sweetheart, for lack of a better word, she's part of his family of kids, you know? It's all those kids he raises... And it's really creepy. I don't care that she's a adult here. It doesn't matter. In the world of Batman, they have a parental relationship.
That would be like if like he had a relationship with one of the Robins, basically.
Right. When I saw it in the trailers, I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to end up hating this. And luckily, it didn't happen.
They didn't cross the line.
But only because she wasn't, not for lack of his trying, but she wasn't interested.
Right.
But the fact that they even broached it was really a big problem. I mean, there was any number of female characters they could have... put in that position as a kick-ass fighter alongside him and not have it be his, you know, his stepdaughter or whoever, however you want to characterize it.
I will say that of all the jokes, like I was paying attention to when my girlfriend laughed and when Batman saw Barbara Gordon for the first time and they played the I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight, so she laughed out loud. So like that joke worked, but she has no context that you have, Connor.
Sure, no, I'm not saying, I'm just saying for me, that's my deal breaker.
No, I'm just going to say, but that joke could have worked for any woman. You know, for any love interest, you know, basically. Not any woman, but like if Catwoman came in, I'm just saying that. I'm going to stop talking now.
Lord and Miller do a joke, and they've done it in at least a couple of movies. They did it in the Lego movie when Emmett first sees Wild Style, and he sees her, and he starts to talk, goes, everything goes slow. The same joke in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, where whoever the Bill Hader character does the same thing. And so it's like they had to do that, but...
Hey, Connor, I didn't realize, and it makes perfect sense now, but Josh is an expert in kids' movies.
Yes.
Well,
Did they do Cloud of the Chance of Meatballs, too?
My kid doesn't like movies.
Right.
So, like, these are all movies that I tried to get him to like, but that I've seen, we've played the Lego movie game for a while, so we've been able to watch the movie a lot, too. But the thing is, those are also really good movies. Those are good movies. Like, there are shitty ones, too. Like, we went and saw one where Owen Wilson is like a turkey traveling through time, and that was awful.
I didn't see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, but I saw the trailer, and there was a joke in that made me laugh for weeks.
It's a really funny movie.
Because it's all wordplay. It's there's a leak in the car. And they went, there's a leak.
Oh, boy.
Did you catch that at all? I've seen the movie. No. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I don't either.
The whole point of the movie is
okay, so...
Wow.
The whole point of the movie is that the vegetables come to life, and they're in a car, and the car is a boat. The car is in a river. And they go, there's a leak in the car, and it's a little leak, like the vegetable leak.
Okay. So anyway.
Listen to him laugh.
I know.
That
movie came out how long ago?
And the funny thing is, I don't want to see the movie because I don't want to ruin it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Just let it live in your heart, man.
Exactly. Just like the Minions. Like, I didn't see the Minions movie. I love those Minions.
Watch them. Okay. I'm very familiar with the Minions movies.
Yep.
Despicable Me 2 and Minions are really good.
Okay. All right.
Like when I say really good, what I mean is the sense of humor works for me. The joke timing, the way that they do things, whereas it's just what I consider a sophisticated way of doing jokes.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is, but something about those goddamn Minions. I've watched so many clips on YouTube of like all the scenes and the jokes, and like it's like watching what's comedy where like Charlie Chaplin. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You know, like, it's great.
And so, I'm not a snob. Like, and before I ever saw the Minions, like, I'd see, like, the merch everywhere, and I was like, I'm so fucking sick of those. And then I, like, watched it with my kids, and I was like, that movie's funny. Those things are funny. I don't know what to tell you. They're just funny.
I love those goddamn yellow things. Okay, sorry, back to Batman.
So I want that as a context to me talking about this movie and being like, I don't know, I didn't really enjoy it. Because that's Shitty.
Was anyone surprised, considering all of the jokes and in-jokes and references, and that there was nothing about Will Arnett and Michael Cera being teammates?
I had the thought about half an hour in. So here's, this was, no. I mean, I thought about it, but it would, I think it would have been inappropriate. Not inappropriate, it just wouldn't have fit at all. Like, all the in-jokes have to do with DC or Batman or Warner Brothers or whatever.
Yeah, it can't be about the actors, yeah.
So here's my point. Will Arnett as Joe Bluth was my favorite thing. I mean, like that's my my favorite comedy show, you know, like, except Seinfeld probably. And, like, it was my favorite thing. I don't know that he's done anything that I've really liked since then.
It's a variation on a theme since then.
Yeah, no, like, he's doing his it's been a long time.
It's just that he talks like that. That's his move now. And it's like, and it's, I mean, like, we were talking about after the movie, like, he had that Netflix show that didn't do anything. He's got, like, two Fox shows that didn't do anything.
Like, I've tried, but he used it up for me. But also, that's in the context of Arrested Development, where he's surrounded by, I mean, like, a stellar cast and like, incredible writing. And unless all that stuff around is, you know, it worked in that context. And everywhere else, not as much.
Well, he's very good at playing the over ego inflated jerk, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the high status idiot.
This version of Batman is that, and then to me, that worked. I thought he was very funny as that character.
So, Connor, you said you had a list. What else? But so, aside from the Batgirl relationship, what else was the issue?
No. I said that was my deal breaker. Yeah, that was my almost deal breaker of the movie. Like, if that had happened, I would have been able to. This would be a very different conversation.
Right.
He wanted it to happen. But it didn't happen, so I'm glad it did, because otherwise I'd, you know.
Right. Well, so in terms of things we didn't like, I do think that in the pantheon of Jokers, this is the worst movie Joker of them all. And nothing against Zach Galifianakis, who did the voice, but, like, I mean, you know, like,
it'll be okay.
It wasn't. I mean, the thing is, between Cesar Romero to Mark Hamill to Jack Nicholson to Heath Ledger, it's just like there's such a expectation, at least in my head, for somebody to be the Joker. And he just didn't have, like, there was no defining characteristic that is jokery. Like, he just was kind of villainy. He wasn't jokery to me.
I'm going to tell you right now what the problem is.
What?
Pointy teeth.
Yes. Yeah.
You take those pointy teeth out, you have a whole different view on it. I guarantee it.
Possibly, yeah.
I think you're right in that the Joker himself was not interesting. However, as Josh mentioned earlier, I think the relationship between Batman and the Joker was interesting.
Oh, agreed. I think that was the best thing. But there was no cackle. There was no laugh. There was no...
Well, think about it. Was the last time we saw the Joker on screen was Heath Ledger and he won an Oscar for it?
Sure.
So,
yeah, no, understood. Yeah, no, and I...
It would be a little bit difficult. Maybe just don't try for a little while. Actually, that's not true. That's not true. See, I blocked it out of my fucking memory. The last time I saw him on screen was Jared Leto.
Right. Yeah.
I blocked it out of my head.
Wow. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think anybody would blame me for that. But you know what? I think it was a good decision to not make him Mark Hamill.
Yes.
Because I thought it would have been a bad idea to, like, take that in. They were referring to things from the past, but they weren't leaning on them necessarily. But I would also say the voice actually wasn't so different than Mark Hamill's that I didn't go, is that Mark Hamill? For a
I
second.
Didn't know who it was. Like, I picked out most of them.
Instantly it wasn't Mark Hamill.
It wasn't so different from that voice characterization, is my point. And then the other thing is, like, so what is the Joker? Sometimes the Joker's really scary. Sometimes he's really silly. The Joker wasn't any of those things. He wasn't, like, he was the romantic, whatever, you know, like, the anti-romantic lead character that he was sort of playing in that, like, and you can't make him scary. Like, it's a tough position. It's a really, I think you take the scary out of that character and...
Yeah.
It's not a lot left. I mean, it's just what do you do with him if you don't make him a murderer?
Right.
Tough position.
Yeah, I mean, he becomes more of the Cesar Romero-y, you know, this is kind of a goofball criminal type. He's not. I mean, that's really all you can do in this kind of context.
Sure. No, I mean, I don't know what they would have done. I don't know.
I quite enjoyed Alfred.
Alfred was good. I liked Alfred in his Alfred mask. That was good as well, too. A nice little...
When are they going to run out of this generation of British actors to play Alfred? They've done... Wait a minute. Did Jeremy Irons play him once?
Jeremy Irons played him in Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Most recently. He's the most recent Alfred, yeah.
I blocked that out. It's like, that seems familiar, but I don't know why. And I'm not even making a joke. Like,
I liked his little bald cap. Like, it wasn't like they just left the top of the Lego open.
Yeah.
You know, they actually had like a bald cap on. That was funny.
They snapped it on. Yeah, that was good.
And I liked him. I liked him in the old suit. I liked him saying, "I missed the 60s. Like, I liked Alfred. I thought he was a fun character. You know, even though it was a different kind of Robin, Dick Grayson. First of all, I liked that it was Dick Grayson. I liked that it wasn't fucking Damien. I cannot tell you how thrilled I was about that.
I know you were thrilled. I'll confess, I didn't know it was Michael Cera until the end.
I saw that somewhere.
I liked his sort of wide-eyed naive character, although he was very competent.
I liked that, too. I liked when they were doing the training, he was really good at everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that made it funnier because, you know, the meaner Batman tried to be, the more he stepped up to the plate and was able to succeed. He did it with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
I liked that it was the old version of the DC Universe. I thought it was pretty interesting that Superman had his trunks, which I thought was a no-no.
Because some of the filmmakers were like, no, all these other costumes look stupid.
I had fun with it. I had a good time. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't what it was.
It wasn't great.
Lego Movie. Lego Movie was really great. This was a fun time at the movies.
This is fun. Yeah, agreed. This is fun. It wasn't great. I mean, and if you are a huge Batman fan or a huge DC fan and you like to revel in the references and stuff like that, then you probably had a great time. And that's cool, too.
Here's my question, though. And this is the thing that I've been thinking about after it's over. I think a lot of people get by, and I saw, you know, social media, everybody coming home, oh, it was the greatest. It was great.
Yeah. Well, you have to ignore social media for that.
I know that, but like...
That's my whole thing. The weekend of every movie that comes out, it's the greatest movie ever made.
I realize that, but I'm getting to a point.
Yeah.
I promise.
What is your point?
But it seems like that is over and over predicated on, look, there's a superhero up there, and they're referencing other superheroes that we know about. And I wonder just like, how deep does that well go? Because... like, all of the novelty is out now. Like, it's happened. Like, why is that still enough?
Because it is. It's familiarity. Breeding on familiarity. It's breeding on, oh, I get that. I'm in the club. Like, I get it. I mean,
that used to be special because we weren't. When Kevin Smith first talked about Star Wars in a movie, we were like, Jesus, no one's ever done this before.
Right.
And now it's been 20 years of that constantly. Yeah. And, like, it's not impressive anymore, unless it's really clever. But it seems like that's still
that's the thing, is that the bar is raised, I think, in order to do that well or do it in a good way, you know, and that there's like this where it's, you know, enjoyable and some people are going to love it and some people like you, like us, who have watched a lot of it over the past 15 years are going to, like, I'll admit, I walked out of this movie a little tired. I was tired.
But also, people like the things they like.
Yeah.
It's no different than a sports fan watching a highlight show over and over again of old things.
Don't understand that either.
Of clips he's seen a million times. It's no different than seeing an old player come to the game again. Like, it's not any different.
Not Willie Mays making a catch.
It's a different version of that. I watch that baseball documentary all the time. It's the same thing. I'm reveling in the nostalgia of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they made that baseball documentary 12 times...
Major League Baseball, and they repackaged just everything. I've watched three different versions of the Cubs World Series highlights in three different kind of contexts. It's just reliving
that's
memories.
Actual footage of it.
Well, no, but you, I mean, you're apples and oranges here. I mean, Josh, I get the point that you're making. Like, Connor, if they made another Major League type movie, that, I mean, like, imagine if they made Major League, they're up to Major League 15. You know, and then I get the point that you're making, Josh, is that they're going to the well a lot. But the thing is that well right now is plentiful, and
how long can that go on?
Well, why worry? Who cares?
If people are into comics, they're going to like him no matter how many versions come out.
And the same question about superhero comics, so it's fine.
Well, that's the thing, is that if you look at it now, superhero comics are not. I mean, it's not the. I mean, now we're getting into way off topic, but the number of conventions is ever increasing. More people are going to this stuff, whether or not they read the comics and are as well read as us or the people listening to this show or other folks is, you know, questionable. But who cares? People are reveling in fandom, and this is what it is now. You know, in 1980, 1981, how many Star Wars knockoffs were there? You know, everyone was trying to do a science fiction space opera. We don't remember the shitty ones because they were shitty, you know, but like. I remember Ice Pirates.
Yeah, I do.
I was so excited to go see that, and I remember that was one of my first big like movie theater disappointments.
Yeah,
where I was like, oh man, that's exactly what I want to see, and I got there and I was like, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be at all.
And I still have nightmares about that. What's nuts, the things chomping
face
at the
herpes?
Ball.
Oh yeah,
face herpes. Yeah, that was the only thing I laughed at. I didn't even know what a herpes was, but a herpes is a funny word.
Wow, you really are your children's father.
My kid watches a movie just like me. Like, well, no. I laugh. When something makes me laugh, I laugh a lot.
I know, but I've never been, no matter what age I am, and I can go back and talk to my parents or whatever, but I've never been like, haha, he said fart. Like, that's never been my humor, and that is your family's humor, and that's okay.
Did you watch Saturday Night Live this last week?
I did.
Did you see the farting push-up?
I didn't laugh once.
Yeah, me either.
I laughed the whole time.
Yeah, so that's your.
What's funny is that I'm the one who's going to come off in this as the snobby, like, high-minded person. I'm also, but fart jokes are good too. What about when the minions say bottom? Get ready to say butt.
I like it better when they say banana. Banana.
Anyway, banana one. Oh. Banana one's good.
All right, well, we can go on and on and on about our opinions of children's movies.
Wait, let's talk about Ice Pirates. That was Robert Urich.
Yeah, it was Robert Urich. Yeah. I watched that a lot on TV over the years.
Angelica Houston?
Yep. Yeah, no, the Ice Pirates is a big deal. 1984.
I know, I remember I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
1984, I was seven.
It made $14.26 million in the box.
You probably weren't seven. You were probably six at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a 1 star on Rotten Tomatoes. It is a 9%.
Not a good movie.
Oh, man, I remember that movie.
But they did predict that water would be valuable.
No, what's funny is that it has a 9% amongst critics and a 49% amongst the audience.
That's normal.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed the Lego Batman movie, go to ifanboy.com where you can comment on this post, let people know what you thought of it. And that's going to wrap us up for Media February, right, Connor? Are we all done?
Yes. Now we're waiting on Logan in March.
Logan in March. So looking forward to that. So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
Banana.
I get the last laugh. I get the final grin. Throw you into the asylum with Harley Quinn. Turn Two-Face to black and blue face. I 100% am not Bruce Wayne. Yeah. Who's the manliest man? With the buns of steel.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.